Okay. All right, so the overview today for what the webinar is gonna look like, we're gonna have a presentation from Peter Andrastic, Senior Consultant for Evangelical Catholic on discipleship. And then following that, we'll have Jeff and Tanel Pearson, who are a Navy active duty couple, give a military young adult witness on their experience of discipleship. Following that, I invite everyone who's on Facebook Live to register with us at the Zoom link that I'm going to be sharing. And we will have 3 minutes of reflection, personal reflection, and then we will go into a small group discussion. I have a couple of reflection questions we're going to go over, and then we'll come back together to discuss what we talked about in our groups and just to hear the different ideas that have come up. So without further ado, I'm gonna stop sharing my screen and just give me a moment to make sure that I have Peter also on.
I'm here.
Awesome. And I'm pinning you to make sure that everyone can see you as well on Facebook. Thank you, Peter. And so I'm just gonna give a brief introduction to who Peter is. Peter has worked in adult formation in the church since 2003. He holds a master's degree in pastoral theology from Ave Maria University. His experience includes preaching retreats, teaching theology, and adult catechesis courses, being a guest lecturer at seminaries, and giving presentations and trainings for numerous parishes, dioceses, movements, and institutions in the church. He also has articles published in Notre Dame's Church Life Journal. Peter currently advises a team that serves over 110 ministries around the world, including dioceses, parishes, and military bases. He lives in Menominee Falls, Wisconsin, with his wife and 8 children. Thank you, Peter, please.
Sure. Thanks for having me. I'd like to just begin with prayer first, and then we'll dive into the topic. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Grant, O merciful God, that we may ardently desire, prudently examine, truthfully acknowledge, and perfectly accomplish what is pleasing to you, for the praise and glory of your name. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. So, hey, thanks for being with us here tonight. I'm excited to be able to share with you some ideas, some thoughts about discipleship. What I'd like to talk about is, you know, discipleship, what is it? And then move into, so what, why does it matter? And then conclude with some practical considerations for moving forward in your own life with discipleship. So what is discipleship? Discipleship is kind of a popular word in church speak these days. If you're at all engaged in anything having to do with your faith, you've probably heard this word a lot, whether it's Catholic radio or at your chapel community or at a local parish. There's a lot of talk about discipleship. Well, what is it? Discipleship is just another way of speaking about someone who follows Christ, okay? The word discipleship highlights the idea of discipline. So discipline, discipleship. If you're a disciple, you are engaging in certain disciplines. What this basically means is that faith isn't simply an intellectual assent. It can't be reduced to like believing in God and the stuff about faith, okay? It's more than just an intellectual assent. Discipleship highlights the idea that our faith life involves a shift of all of our faculties. It involves a shift in our consciousness, in our attitudes, our behaviors, all of those things. And it comes about by the acquisition of disciplines. So John Paul II would say that we are our own efficient cause. What's an efficient cause? An efficient cause is an agent that brings about a change in another, okay? So we see this all the time. When you build a house, you're the efficient cause of the house, right? But in all of God's creation, we're weird as human beings in that we are our own efficient causes. As we do things, we forge a new identity in ourselves. Okay. And so as we acquire certain disciplines, we forge a new identity within ourselves. We become what we do. As we grow in discipline, we become a disciple, right? As we grow in disciplines of prudence, we become a prudent person. As we grow in our belief, we become a faithful person, and all these things. So to be a disciple is to be someone who lives a life of, you could say, disciplined following of Jesus Christ, okay? Ultimately, it's God who acts in us and who forges this identity, but he also demands our participation in that. And that participation comes through the acquisition of disciplines, okay? So disciple, more than just belief in God and kind of like a passive attendance in churchy things, it's the acquisition of disciplines that ultimately forge a new identity in us. And what's that new identity? What's this new identity that we're forging? Well, the identity of being a follower of Christ kind of gets at it. But I think what's even more, a more powerful way of understanding that is that being a disciple of Christ is actually becoming Christ himself. I think the Catechism captures this very well. Number 521 in the Catechism of the Catholic Church says this: Christ enables us to live in him all that he himself lived, and he lives it in us. By his incarnation, he, the Son of God, has in a certain way united himself with each of us. We are called only to become one with him. Okay, that's our only call, to become one with him. For he enables us as the members of his body to share in what he lived for us in his flesh as our model. So it's kind of like a circular way of getting at, there's a forging, this new forging of identity. We're called to become Christ himself. When we're baptized, we're immersed. That's what baptism means. We're immersed into the mystery of Christ. And this mystery takes root in us, and it forges a new identity within us, so that as St. Paul said, it is not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Okay, this is what being a disciple is, allowing Christ to grow in us. This passage in the Catechism goes on to say, we must continue to accomplish in ourselves the stages of Jesus's life and his mysteries, and often to beg him to perfect and realize those mysteries in us. So to be a disciple is to become a mystic, right? If you're a baptized Catholic, your vocation is to become a mystic, a canonizable saint. What's a mystic? It's not someone who floats and levitates. It's someone who is immersed in the mystery of Christ. So that every day, with each step I take, with each breath I take, and every decision that I make, I become more and more fused together with him, such that it's that we're not just alter Christus, we're not just other Christ, we are Christ himself, we're ipse Christus. This is what discipleship is. Christ himself living in our very life. And as a lay person, okay, as someone who's in the military, actively engaged in the military, or not, right? For those of you who are military spouses, wherever you are, for those of us who are not ordained and who are not religious, this mystical life of discipleship has a secular character. What that means is that the secular world, the secula, this age, this world, is not only the setting, but the very means of our discipleship. So our discipleship is not about sacred ceremonies. It's not primarily about getting involved in your chapel community and getting engaged in all the activities and trying to build up the chapel community. It does involve that. That's part of it. But primarily, our discipleship takes place at our work and in our families and in our social settings. Whatever your job is, whether you're a medic or you're in logistics, or you're an infantry, or you're a pilot, or whatever it is, that is the raw material of your mysticism. That is the raw material of your discipleship. It's no use, it's no good saying that you know, so-and-so is a good disciple, but not that great of a logistics worker. Like, that's ridiculous, because Jesus spent the vast majority of his adult life as a carpenter and a businessman. And you better believe that he was a darn good carpenter and businessman. So our discipleship is lived right there in the midst of our secular interests and hobbies. We as lay people feel a gravitational pull toward secular interests, secular hobbies, secular work, secular things. This is not contrary to the gospel. This is where we're called to actually infuse the gospel, to put Christ at the summit of all those things, to be the gospel right there in those things. Because if we're not doing it, if you're not doing it, no one is. And when we do that, when we live this discipleship well, when we are the good news in those secular contexts, our discipleship radiates outside of us. And this is precisely what evangelization is. Discipleship and evangelization are the same thing. They're only really conceptually distinct. We distinguish them in our minds, but in reality, it's the same thing. For example, when you're working really hard, let's say to you know, praying the rosary every day, and you're praying the rosary for your friends, are you evangelizing or are you growing in holiness? Both. When you're working on a specific virtue, let's say, for example, you're working on trying to be more productive at work by doing a better job planning your day and sticking to your schedule. Is that growing in holiness or is that growing in evangelization? It's both, because your work well done is your bait as fishers of men. Jesus calls all of us to be fishers of men. And when we do our work really, really well, we witness to a life that's consistent, that's cheerful, that shows deeper meaning, and that's going to turn heads. People are going to confide in us. They're going to confide in you for professional advice or for help, and that's going to turn personal. And over time, you're going to grow friendship. And over time, you're going to start talking about the deeper things in life. And your discipleship, this is how our discipleship radiates or communicates outside of ourself. So discipleship involves both word and witness. To not witness our faith, to not live it well and robustly in the middle of the world, to not be an instrument of Jesus's presence and action in the world, is to not live our discipleship. Oftentimes we separate out discipleship and evangelization. Discipleship is the thing that we kind of like work, like almost like self-improvement. And evangelization is almost like a project or a program that we engage in. That's not it at all. That's living too kind of like segregated of a life. Rather, we have to live a unity of life. It's all one. So why does this matter? So what, right? Well, first of all, I would say this. Our discipleship is our path to freedom and happiness, okay? And you need to radiate this. You need to radiate that your life of discipleship is freeing, and it gives you happiness. This is the good news. This is the credibility of the gospel. Being Catholic, living discipleship is not about following rules. It involves those. But here's the cool part about rules. As we grow in connaturality with rules, that means as we internalize them and become one with them, they don't feel like rules anymore. I'll give you an example. Murder is against the law, okay? I love people. I feel no need to murder people. And so I don't feel really bound in by that rule, by that law. It's freeing for me, you know, like to just live my life and be fine with people, okay? So I don't feel bound. I don't have a perception of being bound by that rule. And so as we grow in our discipleship, I'll put it this way. Those who take their discipleship seriously, they experience greater freedom, because as we grow in discipleship, we're becoming more in union with God, who is most free. Who is more free than God? So if our discipleship is a participation in the divine nature, okay, we're actually participating more and more every day in the infinite freedom of God. This is what St. Paul means when he says, for freedom, Christ has set us free. We live the glorious freedom of the children of God. So we grow in great facility with our use of creation, with our work, when we understand that we're participating really in a big divine program of bringing all of creation to God. There's great facility in this. I'll give you another example of how it's freeing. Who is more free to play the piano? Someone who has spent years and years with discipline learning how to play the piano, or me, who have never taken a single day of piano lessons? At the end of the day, someone who has spent years and years disciplining themselves, okay, being a disciple of the piano, is way more free to enjoy the creativity and spontaneity of playing the piano than I ever will. Or someone who has, you know, who's more free in their use of the English language, an eighth grader, or someone who has a master's degree in English, okay? Someone who spent years and years of discipline learning and practicing the English language. The discipline leads to greater facility, greater freedom in our experience and in actuality. You know, Jesus said that I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. And so our discipleship, why does it matter? Because God wants us to be happy. Okay, it doesn't seem like that for someone who's just starting out on the path of discipleship. And and maybe you're here too. Like you're just learning all the things that like, gosh, I wish that wasn't a sin. I wish that wasn't a sin. Like in the beginning, it can be kind of like a bottleneck experience. Like, oh, geez, my world is getting narrower and narrower. But as we grow and as we discipline and as we grow in this union with Christ, pretty soon we hit the narrowest point where after that it just kind of pops open. And the world before us it's all opportunity. Okay, it's all opportunity. And Christ's teachings, the church's teachings, the church's disciplines are like the rules of music. Without the rules of music, you can't play music. It's just a bunch of noise. But when we grow in facility with the rules of music, we can make great masterpieces, and it's beautiful. That's why discipleship matters. And when we live this life well, we can be signposts pointing to that freedom to other people. And so when people come to us and ask us for a reason for our hope, right? What is the reason for your hope, as St. Peter says? We need to be ready to say things like, not things like, well, the church teaches this, so that's why I do that, but rather to say things like, to witness to the freedom and the joy and the happiness that it brings us. But not to be fake and sugar-coated about, yeah, it's a struggle, it's a challenge, but this is why it's worth it. At the end of the day, it's worth it. So, I'll just kind of close that section off with, in the Gospel of John, in the beginning of the Gospel of John, John the Baptist points out, I think it was it Andrew and Peter? I can't remember now. Jesus is walking along and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God," and they go to follow him, right? And they're following close behind, and Jesus turns around and he says, "What are you looking for?" Right? And they say, "Master, where are you going?" And he basically says, "Come and see." So when we live this life of discipleship really well, and it's converted into evangelization, when our discipleship radiates from us, our invitation to people becomes simplified to come and see. Yeah, there's definitely a place for intellectual reasons, and we need to be prepared to give a reason for our hope, right? But at the end of the day, at some point, there needs to be an invitation to come and see, right? To come with me to a small group, or to start a quad with me, or come to church with me, or whatever it is, whatever you think would be a good invitation to someone. At some point, there's going to be a come and see, or just invite them out for a beer and have a conversation, or a coffee, whatever you do. At some point, there's a come and see. So that's why this matters: freedom and happiness, to live life and have it abundantly. And finally, I want to touch on some practical considerations for, so what do we do about this? What are some practical steps that we can take to grow in our discipleship. So first of all, formation in discipleship is itself a discipline of discipleship. Okay, I'll say that again, right? Formation in discipleship is itself a discipline. We have to be willing to sacrifice to obtain the formation that's necessary to live this life. This is going to be the hardest, steepest, longest mountain you're ever going to climb, but it's worth it. And it takes a lot of formation to do it. And so we have to be willing to prioritize it. So it's not magic. Discipleship isn't magic. All relationships and ways of life require certain disciplines. You know, whether it's marriage, being an athlete, working a job, if you want to be the best, you got to work at it. And so, so that's the first consideration, right? That formation itself needs to be one of those disciplines. We need to prioritize that. Formation that's primarily ascetical in nature. What that means is it's oriented toward developing heart and habit, okay? So intellectual formation, absolutely. We need to know who we love so we can love him better. But at the same time, it involves growing in a relationship, which involves formation in how to receive the sacraments more fruitfully and more regularly. Formation in how to pray, removing obstacles to prayer, how to pray more fruitfully. Formation in doctrine and in God's word, and how to involve God's word in our life every day. Formation in virtue, growing even in human virtues. So that's the first consideration, that formation is itself one of the disciplines of a disciple. Second thing is this, the setting matters, okay? And this comment here, I think, is directed primarily, I think, toward those of you who are working a little bit more professionally in chapel communities or parishes. We've inherited, in parishes especially, it's similar, I think, in chapel communities, but we've inherited structures that are based on the classroom formation of children. That is not sufficient anymore. Classroom formation of children isn't sufficient for what we need. How did Jesus do it? How did the saints do it? Well, they did it in small communities, very small communities, where iron can sharpen iron, okay? We're talking this, the primary settings of doing this is going to be small group, micro group, one-on-one. That's going to be the primary, you could say that's like the workhorse of this type of formation, is going to be that kind of a setting. So large, like, let's try to get as many people into, you know, our chapel community for a lecture series as possible. That's just not proving to be effective. So we have to kind of like reinvent the way that we give the formation. It's enough said on that. I want to make sure I include various things here. The formation in discipleship requires also progression in maturity. So it doesn't happen all at once. So this is a marathon, not a sprint, okay? And two final things here. Prayer. I said earlier that that our secular life is the primary setting and means of our discipleship. So our everyday life ought to be brought to our prayer regularly and frequently. What do we mean by this? Well, we really should be spending 15 to 30 minutes a day in personal prayer. Saints would call this mental prayer, where we have just a one-on-one conversation with God. And a lot of people try doing that, and after a while they quit because they say, I keep getting distracted. I can't concentrate that long. To which I ask, well, what are you being distracted about? What are you distracted? And they say things like, well, I'm distracted by a meeting that I'm supposed to have later on today. I'm distracted by, you know, a hobby that I have. I'm distracted by this, that, and the other thing. All these things. So basically what you're telling me is you're distracted by the things of your life, right? And so people are like, well, yeah, yeah. To which I ask, well, what do you think you're supposed to be praying about? Like, I want to suggest to you that your mental prayer, what you think are distractions, ought to be the main event of your prayer. Because what you think are distractions are probably the things that God wants you to get his counsel on. These are probably they're going to reveal to you your distractions. If you're constantly daydreaming about some hobby that you have, it might be an indication that you're attached to this hobby. If you're constantly distracted by like impurity and things like that, like maybe that's something you got to consider. Well, maybe this is a problem that I have, right? Or if you're constantly distracted, if you're distracted by some big fight that you had with your wife or your husband last night, maybe you ought to pray about that, because maybe God wants to talk to you about this fight. And maybe you need to like resolve some things. So yes, we should be meditating on the Gospels and Jesus's life and the divine attributes for sure. But I want to propose to you that the bulk of your prayer time ought to be spent on secular things, actually, okay? But bring them into conversation with God. So rather than an internal monologue thinking about these things, you change posture and you bring it into a dialogue with God. That's the prayer of a disciple. And finally, I want to underscore this notion of our secularity, okay? Meditate on the example of Jesus, the carpenter, Jesus, the businessman. He was just as divine when he was doing that as he was when he was doing his public teaching. So a couple things to consider with this. Number one, do things with human excellence. Human excellence is an integral part of your discipleship, okay? Imagine Jesus cutting corners at work. I mean, he did that. He was a carpenter, but he did it in the literal way, not the figurative way, right? Jesus didn't cut corners at work. That's laughable, okay? So we need to do things humanly well with as much perfection as our poor limitations will allow. Strive to do things with the most up-to-date knowledge, with careful prioritization, with technical precision, with cheerfulness, with generosity. This is a bulk of our waking hours, doing things this way, doing it. And that is like the bulk of our discipleship. We put a supernatural intention to that, a supernatural motive to that. And that work becomes converted into prayer, because we infuse meaning into that work. It becomes a word of love well said. So throw yourself into what you're supposed to be doing, when you're supposed to be doing it, and do it well. Be mindful, be present. And like I said, do all these things with supernatural motives and renew those motives throughout the day, and you'll convert your entire day into prayer. And so then you'll be able to say with St. Paul, it is not I who live, but Christ who lives within me. That's discipleship.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you so much for that wonderful, not only presentation, but reflection on discipleship. And I think that this is a great transition into the next part, which is going to be our military young adult witness and how Jeff and Tanel have engaged in discipleship. So I have you guys on the screen now, and Jeff and Tanel, thank you for being here. And let me just give a brief introduction into who you are. So Jeff and Tanel have been married for 5 years and have 2 sons, John Paul and Colby. They live in Norfolk, Virginia, where Jeff serves as a Navy submarine officer. Jeff has been in the Navy since graduating from the Naval Academy in 2015. And Tanel now works as a full-time mom and homemaker after serving 2 years as a missionary with FOCUS, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students. Tanel and Jeff enjoy playing cards over a glass of wine, going for bike rides, leading neighborhood Bible studies, and chasing after their 2 rambunctious boys. Thank you, Jeff and Tanel, for being here with us, and please go ahead.
Casey, thank you so much for introducing us and having us. I'm starting my timer to force myself not to go long, so don't worry. Let's start in a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, teach us how to know you, to share with others. Saints Timothy and Titus, pray for us. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Great. So I'm just going to share a brief example of evangelization and discipleship with a friend that I've made over the past couple of months. But before I get into that, I want to hit on something Peter said, which is the daily silent prayer, frequent reception of the Eucharist, and regular confession will be absolutely bedrock to any effort to evangelize or to disciple anyone. Yeah, and so because I'm a military guy and I like my precise definitions, I'll throw out for you, evangelization is walking with someone towards making Jesus be the priority of their life. It's helping someone get to the point where they can really say yes to Jesus being the main thing in their life. And so all of us have limited time in the military. I'm a husband, father, military officer, getting a grad degree right now online. So in my daily prayer, I asked God how I should focus my time with evangelizing the people who he had put into my life. God made it really clear that a neighbor of mine named Asa was the guy. We got along really well. He was open, fun, really great guy. So first thing when I met him was, hey, I'll go on the run with me next week. We got together, started going on runs together, started hanging out in the neighborhood. Eventually going on a run always leads to, hey, you want to come over for a beer? Because that's the only logical way to finish your run. So we grew in a friendship that way, really getting to know each other, started asking those next level questions of how he grew up, what's his faith background like. And on subsequent runs and subsequent hangouts, I was able to share my personal testimony of what my life was like before I made Jesus the center of my life, what it was like to have Jesus chase after me and encounter me and say yes to him, and then what my life is like afterwards as I continue to grow in that. And he really reacted to that and was open to it and really wanted to know more. So I asked him if, after we got done with this run, if I could get together with him another time for beers and to share a gospel invitation with him. So that's presenting an overview of the basic gospel message and inviting him to right then and there, say yes or no to making Jesus the center of his life. So I got together again with him another time. Good news. He said yes. He wanted to learn more, wanted to put Jesus at the center of his life. And that is where I'll give you the definition of discipleship starting. So walking with someone else in discipleship. So the verb of discipling someone else, right? So yes, they want to say yes to Jesus in their life. So we're going to take him from point A to point B. We continue the same things of evangelization and authentic friendship, which is getting together, beers, our families getting together, having them over for dinner and whatnot. The first thing I had to decide in how to disciple him was, what am I going to do with him? What are we going to do together? And so intentionality was the key here. And so I said, hey, do you want to meet together regularly to grow in a relationship with Jesus together, you and me? So the first thing we did was do a 30-day prayer challenge through the Gospel of Luke. And honestly, it was really impactful for me, even though I thought I was going to be the guy, teaching him. But it's really cool to teach Lectio Divina with him, see that process of the Holy Spirit doing the evangelization and the discipleship for me, to see him like grow in love and fall in love with Jesus. We get together 3 or 4 times a week. Or either in person or via video chat, and talk about my prayer experiences, his prayer experiences.
Helps really that he lived 2 doors down, so it's not like there was.
They're like 30 seconds away. But we grew in the process of Jesus. Eventually, I started inviting him to Mass, and his family started going with him, and now, we've grown into a beautiful friendship where we continue to meet regularly, talk about the gospel, and try to help him figure out how he can then take his experience of being discipled to then teach others how to grow in discipleship with Jesus. It's an ongoing process, but now I'm going to give my beautiful bride the floor.
A few minutes. So I think something that Jeff honed in on is like that process of discipleship in ourselves is kind of what Acts 2:42 says, about how they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, and the breaking of the bread and prayer. So it's all about the sacraments, our personal prayer with Jesus, fellowship with others, and then the teaching of the apostles, like that formation. And that's really what we're doing in that process. process of discipleship, getting someone from, yes, I do want someone at the center, like I want Jesus at the center of life, but like, how do I do that? Because it's very countercultural when it's really easy to just, the second your kids are in bed or the second you're back from work, you just do all your, you know, you watch the TV and you get on your email, and just, it's a very distracting world. So I would say something that I've grown in is, I'm gonna give like two short examples. So one example is someone from our last duty station where she wanted to say yes to Jesus, but, you know, didn't really know that how aspect. So I just focused on those four things and just kind of like we made goals and I followed up with her. But I would note that don't be afraid to make your discipleship with someone intentional and ask them for a regular time, you know, every other week or every week, depending on how busy you are as a active duty person or, you know, any form of the Navy or even like a mom, you know, married someone like us. So I think that was something that I was nervous of, because it sounds weird, or like, you know, Jeff's gospel presentation, like, oh, do people do those anymore? Like, can you give the gospel message? But like, at some point they either need to, they need to say yes to Jesus
or not.
And they need to say yes to this relationship. And honestly, it was kind of like the rules of the Catholic Church. Like, it gave a lot of freedom in our relationship to know like, hey, we're being intentional, so we can have these intentional conversations every time instead of just like skirting around it and then only having these conversations every like couple times we meet. So that was really good. But then I'm also going to give an example of something that we might call pre-evangelization. So Peter gave a really good example about how our work is the bait to which we evangelize. And my work is a stay-at-home mom. So like, if I do my job well, it's attractive in a way. And it's also attractive to like, you know, have someone that dresses a little bit differently. We act a little bit differently. We don't watch the same shows. We don't talk the same way. And it gives a little bit of a stirring. So I have a friend across the way that we've grown in a friendship. And, you know, she kind of went from curious agnostic to now she's going to mass with us every once in a while. And I wouldn't say she's quite at the point of giving her life to Jesus, but I think that's part of the process of evangelization, is reaching people where they're at and not being afraid to step out a little bit and ask harder questions. You know, ask about, you know, what was your faith like growing up? What was, what, like, have you prayed before? And recognizing that everyone's process of discipleship generally involves a process of healing as well. And in that process of healing, I think as Catholics, we sometimes get afraid of just inviting someone in that moment to just say, will you pray with me right now? Like, I realize you're hurting in this, like, let's pray. So that in particular with my friend across the way was really powerful and brought up some really good conversations and some really good, good growth. So, I guess what I'm saying is, yeah, be bold, don't be afraid, and put yourself out there. Especially when you've gained that, you know, that loving trust and friendship with someone. Like, it starts with your work. It starts with normal friendships. It's like, don't be afraid to be different. So
yeah, I couldn't have said it better myself.
Did I miss anything?
I would just close with reiterating from John chapter 15, like, unless you abide in Jesus, like, you can do nothing. So if you're trying to evangelize or trying to disciple someone, but you're not praying, you should stop and then start praying first. So yeah, discipleship's fruitful if you pray. It's not going to happen on accident, though. You have to be intentional. You have to look at your calendar and actually schedule in time to, you know, go out and be with people. And finally, it's fun, you know? And have a beer with people.
And it's a sacrifice, over, right? Like, there are times that I'd rather stay home. It's like, you know what? We're doing book club tonight with the neighborhood ladies. And like, that is good, you know?
Yeah, but that's it. Because otherwise, I don't think if we go any further, I don't think Casey can afford us if we go any further. So.
It's simple. Just do it.
I've been praying this whole time, and that's how I'm going to repay you for your time. Thank you so much. No, thank you, Jeff and Tanel, for that really practical example and just your experience of inviting others into discipleship, meeting people at different stages in evangelization. I think that these are really good scenarios for us to think about, for military young adults to think about. And so I think that's a great lead-in into our reflection and then our discussion. So I just want to say again, thank you to Peter for his presentation and introduction to discipleship. I really do appreciate just what you shared, and knowing that it comes from a place of you being able to serve the church in many different organizations and ministries. Thank you for that, Peter. And thank you for sharing your wisdom here. Jeff and Tanel, thank you for what you do, serving in our military as a family, and for also being a witness to Christ there. So I'm gonna go ahead and stop the recording here.